What up, what up, what up? Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Impact Sports Cincinnati Big Bengals Show. My name is Chris Asbrock, and I am your host today. As always, Impact Sports Cincinnati is brought to you by Dark Hawk Nutrition. Dark Hawk Nutrition is the next evolution in sports supplements. Their pre-workout, protein, creatine, and other products are produced in FDA-approved facilities, third-party tested for quality, and are guaranteed clean. Make sure you use code IMPACT for 15% off of your entire selection at darkhawknutrition.com. That is code IMPACT for 15% off of your entire selection at darkhawknutrition.com. Well, this is the first episode in, it's been a while. Not gonna lie, between the holidays and superstition, that is why we have not had I haven't done a show, simply because that holidays, scheduling, everything like that. Like I said, I had kids, they were sick. And then, like I said, superstition, we were on a roll, and I wasn't going to jinx it because I believe that, you know, everything I do is going to determine whether the Bengals win or not. So, yes, I'm out of my freaking mind. I get it. But we are back now to discuss the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20 loss at Arrowhead, well, at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium against the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship. So, this one's a tough one. This one is going to sting for a while, like a long, long while. Bengals had beaten Kansas City three straight times, twice or all three times in the span of a calendar year. And, you know, things were looking good. The Bengals, they had Kansas City figured out, is what it seemed like. They were able to come back in the second half. They would survive deficits, and each game they would come back and they would win. But that was not to be the case in this game. Now, let's be real. It's extremely difficult to beat a team, you know, three straight times. That's crazy. To beat them four straight times is even crazier. So the Bengals already had a very tough ask ahead of them, you know, in terms of dealing with that. You know, like I said, this is a tough way to, you know, to end this season. Last year, the Cincinnati Bengals made it to the Super Bowl, but this team was better than last year's team. This Bengals team was on a roll, and unfortunately, it just did not play out like, you know, we had hoped. And Bengals were sent packing, plain and simple. I think, you know, this playoff, you know, looking at this playoff so far, the Bengals, you know, in the divisional or the wild card weekend, knocked off, you know, the Baltimore Ravens in a game that, you know, some would look and say that they were lucky to come away with a victory out of that game. I agree. You know, if it wasn't for that, the Sam Hubbard fumble recovery where he housed it 98 yards, I don't know if the Bengals win that game. They might not have even escaped wildcard weekend with a win, but they did. Things went their way. They took advantage of it. They got the break, and they won. Years past, that was not the case with the Cincinnati Bengals. They would have been the team on the other side of that happening. This year wasn't the case. Last year wasn't the case. It was the team taking advantage of opportunities, and breaks were going their way. Last week against the Buffalo Bills, absolute domination. Not one point in that game last week against the Bills did I was I in fear that the Bengals would lose that game. They had started out, you know, from start to finish. They dominated that matchup. And there was nothing Buffalo could do. And Buffalo's a great football team. Sometimes teams just go out and they just win a football game and you know, in terms of, you know, an absolute ass kicking. And that's what that was. This week against Kansas City, the Bengals, you know, it kind of seemed like the vibe was kind of weird going into it. You have Mike Hilton, who I love Mike Hilton. Don't get me wrong. I love Mike Hilton. He coined the phrase Burrowhead during the Kansas City game. So, or not the Kansas City, the Buffalo game. You know, they're on the sidelines, and he said, we'll see you all at Burrowhead. You know, so that right there, and there was a lot of talking going into it, going into this week. And that, you know, I don't know, it didn't sit well with me. I mean, I guess it's, you know, maybe the talking from the players wasn't too bad, but then you have Cincinnati Mayor Aftab Pureval coming out and saying that a paternity test needs to be done to determine whether Joe Burrow is Patrick Mahomes' father and stuff like that. Just, that's not good. So going into this week, I it was weird. I felt that I didn't have a bad feeling about the game, despite the gong show of, you know, of comments coming into it. I wasn't worried about the game. I wasn't overly freaked out about it. I wasn't overconfident about it. It was just weird. I was kind of at ease with the game. And that's not normal, because normally I've got an idea of a pretty good idea of how I feel going into it. This was not the case this week. This was one where I had, you know, I wasn't feeling either way about it. And the game started. Patrick Mahomes, who is, you know, he continues to show why he's the best player in the NFL. But Patrick Mahomes, high ankle sprain, which I called out and said, I tweeted out, high ankle sprain my ass, because he sure looked pretty good. Running around like there was no problems. Granted, he might have been shot up on all kinds of pain meds and everything like that to where he wasn't feeling it. But, you know, still, I would kind of think, you know, in the freezing cold like that, you know, it kind of seemed like it would affect him more. But it wasn't. And, you know, the Bengals, I'm looking at here, the first drive, you know, was pretty ugly. You know, looking at it here, the Bengals, you know, they go, I want to say it looked like, let's see, including the penalties, they had, one sack on the first drive, and then two sacks on the second drive. So the Bengals couldn't, I mean, to start off, three sacks on the first two drives of the game. It wasn't good at all, the way this team came out. We were down Alex Kappa, obviously Lyle Collins, who has been hurt, you know, for a couple weeks. But Alex Kappa and Jonah Williams were the two that were not going to play this week. They were, you know, so-called day-to-day. So that was something to keep an eye on going into it, which saw Jackson Carmen take over for Jonah Williams at left guard, or left tackle, I mean. And then right guard was Max Sharping, with Hakeem Adeniji taking over at right tackle for Lyle Collins. And Adeniji was, oh boy, that guy's had better days. Man, has he had better days, because it was ugly. And he, oh man, it was bad. But the way the game started off, you know, Bengals ended up with two punts in the first quarter. They only had two drives. Two drives totaling 8 yards, or 8 plays and 0 yards net. It was, you know, wasn't pretty. They had the ball for 2 minutes and 49 seconds, 2 minutes and 34 seconds, you know, in the first quarter. So it's 5 minutes and 23 seconds of possession in the first quarter, only to get, you know, two punts out of it. Now, Kansas City had the ball and were able to, they had one drive in the, you know, officially in the first quarter, and they got a field goal out of that. So at the end of the first quarter, it was 3-0. And then, you know, the Bengals, they just, you know, they just couldn't get it going early on. And that really set the tone for the way the game was going to be played. Because, you know, in a game where you have to score touchdowns, the Bengals only were able to muster up two of them. Now, granted, Kansas City only mustered up two as well, but the Bengals had better opportunities than what Kansas City did. The drive at the end of the first half was the one that really kind of stands out in the clock management and how that played out. Because you're down 6-0 to literally start off the second quarter. You know, the first play of the second quarter was a 24-yard field goal by Harrison Butker to give Kansas City the 6-0 lead. So 2 seconds had elapsed in that quarter before the Bengals ended up driving down the field on a 13-play, 63-yard drive that took 6 minutes and 24 seconds off the clock. And it was a 30-yard field goal. So it's 6-3 at that point. So you're thinking, okay, you know, right back in it. We literally had 0 yards in that first quarter. That ain't good. You're not going to win many football games with 0 yards in the first quarter. But yet this team was only down 6-3, you know, after their first drive of the second quarter. So that's not bad. But it still didn't feel, you know, the game didn't feel out of reach even after, you know, that. Because the team, like I said, they were still pushing hard. Defensively, the Bengals did a relatively good job in this game. And I'll break down a little bit of the stats later on. But, you know, Kansas City proceeds to go on an 8-play, 75-yard drive. And culminating in a Travis Kelce 14-yard touchdown. Now, the chemistry between Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes is simply incredible. It's along the same lines of Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. The chemistry those guys have, just like the Burrow, or just like the Mahomes and Kelce relationship. It's incredible. Something that, you know, a quarterback with the caliber of Mahomes and Burrow, you know, that's going to be a commonality with an elite talent like a Jamar Chase or a Patrick Kelce. Two different positions, you know, a tight end and wide receiver, but very much along the same lines. And that is what the Bengals have been so good at, was handling Travis Kelce in the first, or especially the last two matchups. And in this matchup, he only had 75 yards receiving, but he only had one incompletion. You know, he had eight or nine targets, I think, and eight receptions, I think is what it was, for 75 yards, Kelce did. So he didn't kill us totally, But he did get us for a touchdown. But after that, the Bengals get the ball back. Like I said, they're down 13-3. And Burrow throws an interception on the third play of the drive. At that point in time, I was starting to doubt whether this game was, was going to go the Bengals' way. 13-3. I was getting a little emotional, but you can never count out a team that's got Joe Burrow as quarterback. Plain and simple, I've said it. I was getting reassured that on Twitter as well, believe me. But it still was hard to feel good about it because they couldn't give Burrow any help or any time to throw that ball, throw the football. That was the majority of the problem, in that whole first part of the game. The Bengals, after Burrow throws the interception, the Bengals defense comes out and forces a 3-and-out. Clutch. Absolutely clutch. The Bengals get the ball. And on the second play, or on the third play, I'm sorry, the Bengals get the ball back with just over 2 minutes left in the half. 2 minutes and 3 seconds left, they get the ball. And it's a run for Joe Mix on the first play. Goes 2 yards, 2 minute warning. And then Burrow finds Hayden Hurst to set up a third down, a third and two. He goes over the middle for Hayden Hurst. He gets absolutely blown up by Brian Cook before the ball comes. It's intercepted by Thornhill. Penalty for the defensive pass interference on the former Bearcat Brian Cook. And Bengals get new life. It's a spot foul. First and 10 at the Bengals 33-yard line. And, they proceed to drive, and this was with a minute 44 left in the half. The Bengals were able to get it down. And then the crazy clock management part comes out. I kind of felt like I was watching a Marvin Lewis football team, or coach football team here, with the clock management. They waste two timeouts relatively quickly on each side of a third down, which kind of baffled me, like I said, the way it played out. With 32 seconds left, they get a deep pass, a 25-yard pass to T. Higgins down to the Bengals, down to the Kansas City 5-yard line. 21 seconds come off the clock, and then it's a no huddle. And it was the way it was done was not, it was very questionable, the way they handled the clock management there. And it cost them 4 points, possibly. 4 points in this kind of game goes a long way. In a game that you have to score touchdowns, you're trading field goals. That's not going to win you football games, folks. And that's something this Bengals football team has done a very good job of this season. Scoring touchdowns. They just couldn't do it in this one. And they end up settling for a field goal, a 23-yard field goal by Evan McPherson to make it 13-6. So the Bengals go 12 plays, 90 yards, wipe the entire, time off the clock there, and they go in the half down a score. So you're thinking, okay, could have been worse, could have been better. You should be looking at a 13-10 score line. But you weren't, unfortunately. But Kansas City gets the ball back to start the second half, and the Bengals defense once again comes up big. 3-and-out. Bengals get the ball back. They proceed to drive 8 plays, 62 yards, and a beautiful Joe Burrow pass down the deep right side to T. Higgins, who goes up and high points of football better than almost anybody in the league for a touchdown to tie this game up after the extra point. It is 13-13. Who'd have thought it? After the way the first half started, that's what you're looking at in the second half? Incredible. But the Kansas City Chiefs are the Kansas City Chiefs for a reason. This is where it gets kind of goofy, because on the Chiefs' next drive, they convert a couple first downs. And then on a 3rd-and-7 play, the Chiefs get a pass. Mahomes passes it to Marquez Valdes-Scantling on 3rd-and-7 for 6 yards. He extends his arm out in the ball, but then brings it back in. And Kansas City, so he was ruled short of the line, which was the proper call. And the Chiefs challenge it. They end up giving him a first down. In that type of situation, I believe it was Gene Steratore said, that doesn't apply here. Wasn't a good call. I don't blame the Chiefs for doing it. They had to challenge that. And, it's worth it at this point in time. Refs give it to him. And eventually, MVS Marquez Valdes-Scantling gets a 19-yard touchdown play. Or a touchdown pass from Mahomes, and it gives Kansas City the 20-13 lead again. 11 plays, 77 yards total. Took about 5 minutes and 39 seconds off the clock. It's tough for the Bengals, but hey, it is what it is. They proceed to trade punts back and forth here. Bengals get the ball after Patrick Mahomes sacked, fumbles it. That's kind of what it was listed at. Bengals get the ball, and then they proceed to score on that drive to make it 20-20. So, going into the fourth quarter, the Bengals had just tied it up a minute and 30 into the quarter. So, the fourth quarter, we're starting off brand new at 20-20. And this is where things get kind of goofy here. You have the refereeing decision of the extra third down play where the clock was, supposed to start on the referee's whistle, which is incorrect. Another judge comes in, side judge, I believe the back judge, I think, comes running in. Start the clock, not blowing his whistle. Kansas City gets I think it's an incomplete pass, I believe is what it was. They rule that the play should not have occurred. The clock had started. Therefore, they gave Kansas City another down. Bengals defense sacks Patrick Mahomes on 3rd-and-9. Eli Apple is flagged for a defensive holding. Extra third down, basically, and a first down based off of the extra, based off the defensive holding. Tough set of circumstances for the Bengals defense there. Ultimately, it does not come back to hurt them. They end up getting the ball back on a punt. No big deal. However, Joe Burrow is intercepted on that following drive. Bengals do force another punt, and then with just over 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game, things kind of got sideways again. Bengals had 3 timeouts, and they get the ball back. Again, tied 20-20 with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left at the 6-yard line. You have a chance to drive down the field and kick a game-winning field goal or get some game-winning points here. Now, this is where, when the Bengals took over at this point in time, I was feeling pretty good. Because at this point in time, you've got Joe freaking Burrow with the ball with 2 minutes and 30 seconds. The team's feeling it right now. All they got to do is drive down the field and, get in in a good spot for Evan McPherson to kick a field goal. That's what you're looking at right there. So that's tough when the drive goes the way it does, because ultimately the Bengals cannot get anything going. There was on a 2nd and 7 play, Burrow is flagged for an intentional grounding. Nobody was in the area. And then you have a chance to, with 2 timeouts, I misspoke. The Bengals did not have all 3 timeouts at this point. They had 2 timeouts plus the 2-minute warning. And they were unable to get really anything going. Like I said, they were able to drive it down. Let's see here. It looked like it was it was 7 plays before they end up having a punt. They got the ball to the 35-yard line after a 3rd and 8. So the one thing the Bengals were doing was forcing Kansas City to use their timeouts. And the problem was they had a chance to really – they did a misstep on one of them when they threw an incomplete pass. Burrow had an incomplete pass attempt to Trent Irwin. That allowed Kansas City to not use the timeout and gave them – that was a free timeout for Kansas City. So, therefore, in that next play, it's 3rd and 8. Joe Burrow gets sacked. Chris Jones, with the huge sack, 7-yard loss. Kansas City can use their 2nd timeout. When they could have been out of timeouts at this point in time, forcing the Bengals to punt on 4th and 15 from their own 28. Chrisman gets a good punt, 54 yards, all the way to the 18-yard line, where Sky Moore, who has had trouble fielding punts throughout the season, returns it to the Kansas City 47-yard line, a 29-yard return to the Kansas City 47, giving the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes a great, great spot to start off their drive. But again, with the way the weather was and the wind, and I still felt good about the Bengals' defense here. And then things went sideways. On 3rd and 4, you force Kansas City to use their 3rd timeout, on the 1st down play, keeping them in bounds before an incomplete pass on 2nd down. And then on 3rd and 4, Mahomes scrambled to the right, ran out of bounds. It was a 5-yard scramble for a 1st down. Plus, Joseph Osai gets flagged for unnecessary roughness. 15-yard penalty there. Gives Kansas City the ball and ends up being a 45-yard field goal with 8 seconds left to kick it. And that, that did it. Now, the refereeing was not the best we've seen. That's not the reason the Bengals lost, even though there were some questionable/horrific calls on the Bengals. That ain't why they lost. Chris Jones was an absolute man on fire in this game. And I highlighted his stats in this game because he was an absolute freak and he was not to be stopped. Let me see. Let me pull it up here real quick. Chris Jones, where is it? Come on now. Chris Jones had a total of 4 tackles, 2 sacks for a 13-yard loss, and total of 5 quarterback hits and 3 tackles for loss. Chris Jones was the reason why the Kansas City Chiefs, won this game. The Bengals did a pretty good job of keeping Patrick Mahomes at bay for the most part. Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, and he's, again, the best player in football for a reason. I get it. Mahomes ended up 29 of 43, 326 yards. He was sacked three times for a total of 11 yards lost on that. Two touchdowns, no interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 105.4. They held Kansas City to only 42 yards on the ground. Joe Burrow, on the flip side, 26 of 41, 270 yards. He was sacked five times with one touchdown and two picks, a quarterback rating of 70.2. That's tough. Looking back on it, that is tough. Because I still think the Bengals are the better team than the Kansas City Chiefs this year. Like, top to bottom, I think the Bengals are better. But the Kansas City Chiefs won. They played better. And they came away with the victory. Again, very, very, very tough to beat a team four straight times. And the Bengals found that out. The combination of playing at Arrowhead Stadium, trash talk before the game, bad offensive line play, ultimately were what did the Bengals in. You simply cannot trade field goals when 7 points are available on the board. Bengals couldn't take advantage of that. And that ultimately cost them. Now, the offside penalty, tough. You know, he's not the reason we lost this game. It was a collective effort. A couple plays here and there. This game is, we're talking about a Bengals victory. They didn't make those plays when they had to. And it sucks because this, like I said, this year, this Bengals team better than it was last year. And that last year's team made it to the Super Bowl. And that sucks. That hurts. That's why this one stings more. Because it never should have been like this. That's what sucks. That is what sucks about all of this. But, you know, in the NFL, if you don't play your best game in the playoffs, in the championship round, championship game, you're not going to win. Kansas City was the better team today, or not today, yesterday. But the Bengals are not going anywhere. As long as we have JFB, we're not going anywhere. Which brings up, you know, the next point here is, what are we looking at? So, you know, this episode here, I'm not joined by my colleague Nick Cimino. He needs some more time to decompress after this game. But he will be joining me to discuss the offseason moves like we have in years past. Because this is a crucial offseason. Very crucial offseason for this Cincinnati Bengals team. Because there are some guys that are going to be gone from this team that, you know, are going to be, you know, pretty big names. You know, you got names, you know, you got names like Jesse Bates. Jesse Bates will be gone. Von Bell, Eli Apple, Jermaine Pratt, Trey Flowers, Hayden Hurst, Samaje Perine. That's those free agents, you know, going into this offseason. In 2024, outside of Joe Burrow, you've got T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, Logan Wilson, Chidobe Awuzie, DJ Reader, and Trey Hendrickson. Those are 2024 free agents that you have to start looking at. But with that being the case, You know, like I said, Jesse Bates is going to be gone. Right now, you have, you know, you've got some guys who you can get rid of now to save the cap, you know, to save cap space to help renegotiate a contract like a T. Higgins. To me, Joe Mixon, I would, you know, as it stands right now, on the Monday after the AFC Championship game, like I said, Jesse Bates would be gone. Eli Apple would be gone. Jermaine Pratt would be gone. I would cut ties with Joe Mixon and even Tyler Boyd. That's as it stands right now, just in terms of looking, because, you know, the way this team is going, and like I said, I haven't looked at it remotely, you know, in depth more than what, you know, we will be coming up, because, you know, that's a podcast that, like I said, myself and Nick Cimino will be doing, you know, coming up here down the road, you know, discussing those moves. So those would be the moves I would make as it stands right now at this point in time to work on a T. Higgins extension, to work on obviously the Joe Burrow massive contract extension there, to where he's going to be looking at possibly 44 to 46, 47 million a year. This is a contract that you have to get done early, because I can guarantee to you the Chargers are going to be looking at doing the same thing with Justin Herbert coming right up. That could really put a, you know, throw a wrench into everything right there. But if you do it right and get it done early, things could be, you know, things could be pretty good for this team moving forward. But like I said, that's, you know, going looking at it right now and just off the cuff moves I would make right now. That's not even remotely looking at any numbers or anything like that. That's just a quick, that's what I would do right now. So, again, we are going to be looking at it more in depth coming up as we look ahead to free agency and the draft and everything like that. So stay tuned for those, you know, for that content to come out, you know, as we are moving forward. But that's going to wrap up this podcast here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, I, you know, apologize for not getting much content out, you know, earlier this year. But again, superstition, you know, combined with, you know, scheduling and everything like that really did make things tough. And I, you know, wasn't going to jinx us. I know it's stupid, but it is what it is. But again, thank you guys so much. We are going to have more podcasts and stuff and content coming out down the road here. So stay tuned for that. As always, make sure you follow us on Twitter at I am Chris Asbrock and at ISCincy. And then make sure you check out the website at www.iscincy.com. That is iscincy.com. Make sure you check out the YouTube page, youtube.com/iscincy, for content and stuff like that that we are putting out. Right now, it's just kind of some highlights and stuff like that that we've, you know, put out from Bengals games and stuff from in the stands and everything like that. We are looking to push out more content, you know, through the YouTube page as well. So thank you guys as always for, you know, for checking us out. Continue to support. Can't thank you guys enough. And have yourselves a fantastic rest of your week. And stay tuned as we will be back with more content. Thank you. And take care, everybody.